GNC560. It's Thursday, March 18th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a primer of the Tech Podcast Network. Yep, last show in California before I head off to back to Texas. So I got a great one for you. Lots to share with you. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of California via the Geek News Central portable studio overlooking Silicon Valley. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. And of course, hey, make sure you get subscribed to the show so that you don't miss a single episode. The show is recorded every Monday and Thursday evening, released every Tuesday and Friday morning. Of course, if you're watching on Ustream, I want to welcome you to the show. Today, we're really kind of low-tech here. I'm just using a little easy to, just a little webcam, and not like back in the studio in Honolulu, but hey, travel light and continue on with the content. But those of you on Ustream, I'll be watching chat from time to time. Hello to Big Odie and Al Dale and all the rest that are in the chat room on Ustream. Well, I tell you, it's been a great week here in the Valley. I've had some significant meetings. I'm really excited about things that are progressing. Matter of fact, you guys know that we're getting ready to make some big announcements in probably about 2 weeks. We're going to be starting to release the information we've been holding on to in regards to announcement for Raw Voice, Blueberry, Tech Podcast, Podcaster News, and all of our vertical websites that we work with at Raw Voice. And of course, I think those of you that have been listening to this show for a while may have a smidgen of an idea and what we're going to announce, but the rest of the world don't have a clue. But the meetings this week has been in conjunction with some of that. So I look forward to basically making these big announcements here shortly. If you were out in South by Southwest, I hope you ran into Jeff, our content director at Raw Voice. As a matter of fact, tomorrow is his last day, and then he flies back to New York City on Monday. He's been tweeting me on a regular basis, letting me know what's going on out there, having some good meetings, of course, checking all the music scene and the films and everything, and, of course, partying hard. I have completely recovered from my, essentially, 4 days in Austin, and looking forward to hearing Jeff's report on the rest of the event. I'm actually here through Saturday morning here in the Valley, and I get ready to fly out and go back to Dallas, and I'd be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and of course hitting a variety of spots in Texas over the next week to 10 days. I think I'm going to be out, it looks like, right now until probably the 31st, near the end of the month, before I get back to Honolulu. Pretty long trip for me, and been checking in with my lovely wife and the kids, and everything's going good there. They're on spring break, so I'm missing all the fun for the kids being out of school. So she always tells me, you always end up on travel around the time the kids are on break. So one of these times, hopefully the schedules match up and I'm home when they're off. But hey, if you haven't signed up for our newsletter, please do so. That's where you get all of the content sent to you, basically links to all the content that I cover during the show tonight Those links are essentially all of the articles that listeners like you submit. And, of course, if you have comments, you can submit them to geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call our voicemail hotline at +1-619-342-7365. That line is open 24 hours a day and is available for basically you to sound off on the show and sound off on the content. And, of course, emails are all read on the show. We don't leave anybody out. Positive or negative emails are welcomed. So we want to thank you for that. Okay, here's the skinny on the meetup tomorrow. We're going to be meeting at Romano's Macaroni Grill. It's at 110 Ranch Drive in Milipitas, and I probably just destroyed that. But those of you that are going to be meeting up, there's a telephone number on the Geek News Central website. If you want to give me a jingle and confirm or confirm via email, please do so. But again, Romano's Macaroni Grill at 110 Ranch Drive, Milipitas, at 7 p.m. That's the plan. We're going to meet at 7, probably get time for people to get out of work and drive down or drive up wherever they may be coming from. So look forward to seeing those of you there. Please RSVP so that I know how many's coming so I can basically make sure we get a table reserved. I'll probably be wearing a – you guys know what I look like. You guys see me on the video portion of the show. So just keep an eye out for me. And see you there tomorrow night at 7 p.m. For those of you that are wanting to get some stickers and swag, hey, please send your self-stamped addressed envelope to the address in the show notes. That will basically get it out to me in Honolulu, and then when I get back, I'll stuff some stickers, swag, pens, whatever else I've got in there, and send it back to you. We do have a one of the contributors to my salary replacement plan, and I'm going to talk about him a little later in the show, but he's going to be getting one of our first T-shirts that we're going to send out for his contributions to my salary replacement plan. If you want to get involved with that, you can start out as low as $2 a month. You can find that on the website, second column of the website, at geeknewscentral.com. So let me look here at the list of stuff. Of course, hey, I almost forgot. I want to welcome all of the Ohana to the show. If you are one of our longtime subscribers, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Thanks for staying subscribed. And, of course, thanks for spreading the word about this show. The show continues to grow. We're having, I mean, it's been really a fantastic, for probably the last 18 months, the show has had tremendous growth. I've really been jazzed by the numbers that continue to increase. Really, at this point, I'm seeing a great growth week after week, and it's from all of you that have suggested the show to friends and family members and people that you know and coworkers. Thanks for subscribing. Hey, I want to give a big shout out to Mendel over at GoDaddy. Him and I have been working together over the last week to 10 days to get a situation straightened around for all our podcasters at Raw Voice. Really, we had some problems with some of our promo codes, and Mendel was able to get that squared away, and all of our promo codes for all of our content creators who have been participating in our GoDaddy plan are once again 100% up and up and being able to promote their specific show promo codes on their shows. I want to thank him for getting that straightened around, and say hello to the gang in the GoDaddy office. I know you guys listen to the show, and thanks for being a sponsor here, of course. Hey, of course, if you're looking for great domain names or dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts, or whatever it may be at GoDaddy, you know, when you get over there, check through the products, look at their offerings, see what they have, and when you get to that checkout counter, don't forget your geek here at Geek News Central. They truly help keep the lights on, help me keep the family fed, and allow me to do what I do best, and that is put this show out twice a week. So, hey, that promo codes are available, of course, on the website at geeknewscentral.com. Second column, you find a link to them. But a couple of the popular ones, of course, ComSale. You can get .coms at $7.49, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. New domains or renewals. Promo code Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5, that'll save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Very popular one last month was the code Aloha. That'll save you $20 on orders $75 or more. And a great one you'll want to try, too, if you're looking for a shared hosting account, is use that Todd20 code. That'll get you 20% off on a one-year shared hosting account. Hey, as you guys know, Audible, they are here at geeknewscentral.com. And really, I've been using their website and actually pulling down different books and so forth. Very, very cool. You know, Audible is a provider of premium digital spoken audio. And they have lots of different books. And it's really, truly a consumer service that allows, you know, you to choose an audio version of your favorite book. They have over 75,000 titles. You can purchase individual books, or for a real saving, you can sign up for an Audible listener program, which gives you book credits each month for a low monthly fee. And really, how you get involved with that and how you can check it out is, if you want to get a free audiobook from our sponsor, and if you want to listen to it, Audible has it. Again, with 75,000 titles and virtually every genre available, you can, again, get that free audiobook and a 14-day free trial today by signing up at audiblepodcast.com, audiblepodcast.com/geeknews. Again, audiblepodcast.com/geeknews. There'll be a link to it in the show notes. Of course, there'll be a link to it on the website as well. And definitely check them out. Hey, we'll have Citrix and GoToMeeting back here as a sponsor starting in quarter two. We've wrapped up the Citrix sponsorship for quarter one. And Audible will be finishing us out this month. But we want to thank all of you for your support of Citrix through the past quarters. And we look forward to bringing them back online in Q2. Okay, let me go ahead here. I've got a lot of content to get into tonight. And let me pull down this article, make sure we've got that all closed up. And I've got everything in my list all taken care of. Yeah, I got to stick everything done with that. Again, if you have comments tonight, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Now, while I'm basically kind of taking a break tomorrow and not having a lot of meetings, I'm going to get into Fry's. And Fry's Electronics is one of the stores that I like to visit whenever I'm close to one that is to a location I'm at. And hopefully I will not do too much damage. But I did get an email from my accountant. And basically, there was a K-1. It's a form that you have to file when you are in a partnership with, in a company partnership. And I had formed a new company last year with a group of individuals, and I had gotten the K-1 a little late. And as you know, all the taxes were done, but she had not informed me what my personal tax bill was. We'd already had the corporate stuff go in. So, you know, I'm driving down the highway, and I got my hands free on, and Wendy, my accountant assistant, called, and she says, "Todd, I got your taxes ready to go, your personal taxes," and she says, "Are you ready for the damages?" And I said, "Why, yes, I am." And she says, "Well, you know how you thought you may have to pay XXXX?" And I said, "Yeah." And she teased me a little bit, and she says, "You are way, way under your estimate." She says, "It's actually, you know," and she basically rolled off this five-digit figure. And I quite literally almost fainted in the car when she told me, and she let it hang there for 10 or 15 seconds, and I'm saying to her, "You're kidding. Oh, my gosh." You know, and I'm like, I'm actually cussing a little bit because it was not a number I was expecting. And she goes, "Okay, silly, calm down." She said, "I'm just teasing you. That's not the number." And she told me the number. And then it was like the complete opposite. I had expected to have to pay a significant amount under $10,000, closer to 8 or 9 is what I kind of had calculated in my head. And she basically said, "No, you prepaid enough. You sent enough in each quarter, and all you owe the federal government at the end is $1,200." I was like, I wanted to cheer. I really did. It was one of those situations where, you know, you're expecting a big bill, and it turns out to be small. And and really, it made me. It was like, wow, thank goodness. you know, they take care of stuff during the year. She's, don't worry. We've taken care of you. We've estimated everything out. You know, she was telling me this before. But, you know, I had just done some quick math and took the standard deductions. And, you know, I just didn't do all the other stuff that they do. And so it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. So I actually called my wife and told her, and she was quite happy. So how's your guys' tax experience been this year? Have you guys had to pay Uncle Sam more than what you expected? Or has it been a one of those years where you're getting a little some more money back? You know, I don't like to let them – I like to have at the end of the year a just to be able to write them a small check. You know, I really try hard not to have to pay them a lot. And where there was a surprise, really, was my wife had won that contest earlier in the year in 2009, and I had forgot to count for that in the taxes, and she'd gotten a 1099 on that. And some part-time work she'd been doing, she got a 1099, and it turned out that they had not, or W-2, and they had not been taking any withholding out. So that's where I thought we would be in trouble. And so anyway, it was all good, but I don't like to have Uncle Sam owing me any money. I like to be able to pay them, and I know many of you probably count on that refund check at the end of the year, but I really don't. So try to get it as close to even as possible. But what has your guys' experience been with this, with the tax man this year? Has he been good to you? Of course, they're never good to you, right? But I was pretty happy with my end result. So enough on my tax stuff. Let's get into the tech talk here, okay? All right, let's talk a little bit about a tech article over on BBC News talking about botnets. You know, there's been a lot of things in the news recently about spam and, you know, with the Microsoft taking down a botnet and some companies overseas, or actually some botnets being shut down overseas. You know, we thought that, the tech folks thought there would be a little bit of a decrease in the amount of spam. But apparently what has happened is these folks have, you know, even this success have not inconvenienced these high-tech spammers. And they found other routes to send spam. And really, even with all the stuff that's been done, there has just been no relief in it. And I just wonder if there's got to be a better strategy for getting rid of spam. And luckily, you know, with the email services that I use, I know that when I log into my actual Gmail account or our webmail account that we use with Google Apps, and I look in the spam folder, and there's literally, you know, thousands and thousands of spams that have been dropped in there that I never see. I'm thankful for the filters that the variety of email providers use, because it could, boy, you know, if I had to deal with going through all that, it would be ugly. But does it even matter anymore? Are you guys inconvenienced by it? Does your ISPs and does your email providers, do they do a good job of sorting that out? Love to hear what your guys' response been, how the filters have worked for your, you know, for your current email programs. Are you not being affected by it? Love to hear your feedback on it. Of course, geeknews@gmail.com is where you can drop a line on this. Hey, over on ehomeupgrade.com, Pogo Plug has added media streaming and active copy folder backups. Now, you guys know I'm a big Pogo Plug fan, and of course, the Pogo Plug now is being developed openly, where folks can add different features and so forth for it. But the big news coming out of them today, for those of you that might be prospective Pogo Plug users, as a matter of fact, I got some Pogo Plugs at home to give away. So when I get back to Honolulu, we'll give away a couple of Pogo Plugs in April. But and these are ones I've had basically sitting on the shelf and for, you know, waiting for a good reason to give them away. But what you can do now, if you have an Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3, you can connect to content that's on your Pogo Plug, and essentially you can stream videos and music from them directly. It doesn't matter if you have a Mac or a Windows PC. They've got a real-time feature called Active Copy. Active Copy can also keep backups of important files on another off-site Pogo Plug for redundancy purposes. The MSRP of the latest Pogo Plug is $129. Comes with four USB ports, and Ethernet connectivity. All you can add your own external hard drive to it. So I'll have the link up to this in the show notes, but the folks at Pogo Plug continue to do a good job. Now, I don't have an Xbox 360, nor do I have a PS3, but you guys that have those, can you connect to your current hard drives in your home and stream stuff, or is that something that is not a normal feature of those two gaming machines? Hey, oh, article over on Wired, a lot of discussion, of course, out of South by Southwest, and where there were, you know, with the Twitter announcement or non-announcement and how they got the interviewer and the interviewee got hammered pretty hard by the crowd through Twitter. There's a lot of folks that are really pretty scared about presenting at South by Southwest and some of these bigger venues because, you know, there was a meltdown that happened a year ago, actually a couple of years ago in 2008 with the Sarah Lacey interview of Mark Zuckerberg, where basically people were slamming her interview techniques. And, of course, there was the, you know, this year again with Twitter. And, you know, there's just people are really more empowered to leave comments about these types of sessions. So there's a good article over on Wired about how I survived my South by Southwest keynote interview. And there's a couple of good points in here that I think a lot of people should listen to, especially if you're going to be doing interviews on your podcast or if you're going to be you know, doing some sort of moderated event. People are not there to hear you. They're there to hear the person you're interviewing. And she talks about having a wide diversity of questions and, of course, opening things up for the audience that you may not have covered. So, you know, I think one of the sessions I went to, the panel spent 15 minutes introducing themselves. And in all honesty, I had already looked each of the panelists up on Google, and I really didn't care to hear any more about them. And it just goes to show, I was like, come on, get on with it. Get on with the content. You know, you're wasting our time. You've only got about another 40 minutes left in this session, and you've spent 15 minutes talking about yourself. Now, while this show, I'm completely allowed to talk about the first 10 or 15 minutes because, hey, you guys tune in to hear about me and the content that I put forth. But when you're at an event like South by Southwest, where people may not know you necessarily, it is understandable that, hey, you know, make your introduction. Hi, I am so-and-so. And maybe a website address where people can look that up and then move on and get on with the content. And I'm surprised there hasn't been a lot of articles on South by Southwest about all the commercial pitches that were going on during sessions, which totally drove me crazy. But a pretty good article by Ellett Van Buskirk on his interview at South By. Information is not always easy to get out of the federal government. We all know that there is the Freedom of Information Act that can be utilized to pull documentation or documents out of you know, U.S. government sources. Now, obviously, the government can deny access to certain documents. They can protect them, or they can black records out, or they can, you know, they can excerpt certain amount of stuff that they send you, even if they provide you a document. But a study has come out, says the agencies under the current administration have cited security provisions to withhold information more often than they did under President Bush's administration. For example, the deliberate process exemption of the Freedom of Information Act was used 70,779 times in 2009, up from 47,395 in 2008. So in other words, 70,779 times in 2009, information was withheld from request compared to 47,395. Now, what the Associated Press hasn't said is how many actually Freedom of Information Act submissions were made. So, you know, for example, let's say there was 1 million submissions made and everything but 70,000 of them were approved by the current administration, as compared to maybe like in 2009, if there was 500,000, you know, there's really no comparison here, apples to oranges. You can't tell, you know, what the actual volume is or what the actual ratio is. So this is an article over on Slashdot. So if anyone finds any of that stuff out, can find what the ratio is, please send that over to me. I'd love to share that with you. But, you know, on the surface here, it doesn't appear that, you know, it's any easier to get information out of the government now as it was before. So We'll see if that changes as time goes on. But makes you say, go back and go, But again, we don't have any ratio to compare it to. All right, let's talk a little bit about the space shuttle. Apparently, there's a valve problem, and this is by spacetoday.net, which could delay the shuttle launch. It appears that shuttle engineers are looking at a valve problem on the shuttle Discovery, and it's apparently an isolator valve in a helium pressurization system in the maneuvering system on the orbiter's right side. They're saying in a worst-case scenario, the shuttle would have to be hauled back from the pad to have the pod replaced, which would delay the schedule, April 5th launch by several weeks. So engineers plan to test see how serious the valve problem is, and they may still allow the orbiter to fly. It all depends on what's discovered. But Discovery is, again, scheduled to launch on April 5th to perform a 13-day mission to the International Space Station, delivering supplies and performing other work on the station. So we'll see what happens there. Big news in the science front is that astronomers are totally jazzed by the discovery of a new exoplanet that is near a habitable zone. Oh my God, you're horrible, Todd. Anyway, extrasolar planet hunters are excited about a not-so-hot discovery. For the first time, they found a relative cool planet, that's an extrasolar planet, that they can study in detail. The reason they're excited about this is it's in an orbit around a sun in a relative position that could make the planet not so hot or not so cold based on the orbit and distance away from its star. So they're pretty excited about this. We'll see what happens. So they say here that this discovery adds weight to the fact that we know the planets often orbit in or close to the habitable zone, so we should not be surprised when the Kepler or Corot satellites or some ground-based search makes a claim for the first habitable Earth or super-Earth, comments Alan Boss of the Kearney Institution for Science in Washington, D.C. Okay, so here's the question. So even if we do find a planet that could potentially support life, you know, how in the heck are we going to get over there? We're not. You know, it's just like, okay, so let's say this thing is, how far? It's 1,500 light years away. So, sure, they're going to study this thing. But, you know, with the current technology we have, we're not getting over there, you know, to check them out and go visit our neighbors anytime soon. But, okay, we're excited. But, you know, how much science are they really going to be able to derive with this thing 1,500 light years away? You know, I'm sure they're going to be able to get all kinds of science based on the, you know, the wavelengths coming off and everything else. But, you know, the guess is that this this planet could have a relative temperature range. Oh, check this out. Somewhere between 250 kelvins and 430 kelvins, or that's minus 23 to 157 Celsius. So, you know, who knows? But at this point, I'm sure they're going to say, okay, it may take 25,000 years to get a satellite over there at near light speeds, but how are we going to go over there and investigate? They don't even know we exist yet, that's for sure. All right, 150,000 people have taken the FCC broadband speed test in the first week. The FCC has had it with ISPs for more than a decade, and this is being reported by ArsTechnica.com. And the agency has relied on ISP reports to get a picture of broadband speeds and availability in the United States. So what they have done is they have launched a tool both for the Android, the iPhone, and the web that enable users to test and, crucially, to report their broadband speeds. In addition, it decided to fund a third-party measurement company that will use hardware devices to test actual line speeds in the tens of thousands of U.S. homes. It's all about the data, and the FCC is determined to get it one way or the other. So over the past 7 days, 150,000 people have used the web testing services. Okay, so if I cut you guys loose and every one of you go over and do this, Okay, now here's the skinny. This audience has grown to about 150K on the audio side. So you guys can go over there and we can double these numbers overnight. Okay, so I'm going to have a link up this for you in the show notes. I want everyone to go over there and do this. Now it's at blog.broadband.gov/blog/. No, I'm not going to do that to you. There'll be a link in the show notes. You guys can check it out. So, you know, do these broadband tests whenever you can from whatever device. If you have an iPhone, you have an Android, download the app, do the test whenever you're out and about, change towers, or do it from home. Do it with your devices. Matter of fact, let's talk just a second about my new Sprint EVDO card. I don't know if I told you on the last show, but my U300 device that I've had since December quit on me. It died. And I went over to the local Sprint store, and they ordered me a new EVDO card, actually a replacement, and they actually could not get the U300 anymore, and they got me a U301. I am very happy with this new card. It's much better than the 3-4G card that I had. It was the U301, and what I really like about this card is that it's got an antenna connection. So I'll be able to hook this up to an antenna when I need to, when I'm in a location where the signal isn't so good. But so far, I haven't had to do that with Sprint in the last year or so. The connection's been good. Tonight's Ustream stream is being pushed by Verizon. And last show, we used 512 megs on the stream, so we probably won't run as long tonight on the stream after the show, because we ran for about an hour afterwards, and I actually had the Mark Cuban / the Avner debate. I actually played that for the folks that were on Ustream. They hang out afterwards. So I hope they enjoyed that. But, hey, I'll get back to the original subject here. Make sure you guys go do the broadband test from the U.S. Gov and give the federalities the information that that they need to make our lives better for internet-based speeds. IE9. Looks like IE9 is going to... Microsoft is doing a good job here, and they're going to have some HTML5 implementation. So we'll see what they do with the introduction of IE9. We're keeping a fingers crossed here. And some previews have went out. So if you have gotten your hands on IE9, let me know, please. Of course, what's made the news, big news today has been the Viacom YouTube lawsuit disclosures. And the thing that blew me away is where the folks at YouTube have essentially admitted to looking at videos on their network and working on what they call a constant decision process over what videos should stay and what videos should be removed. And, you know, this sets YouTube up in a very bad position, because safe harbor rules are essentially protect companies when they don't monitor what's on their network. But if the folks at YouTube are saying here that they are actively monitoring and constantly reviewing copyrighted material, where they're actually going through and actively looking at this, this really opens up YouTube in a big, big way. Now, it turns out that Viacom was actually uploading videos to YouTube on their own to see what Google or YouTube's response would be. And the logic, of course, again, in the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, was if you don't know what is on the site, you can't be responsible for policing it. And it's obvious that YouTube knew what was on their site. So they have essentially admitted in their email disclosures that they monitored their site. And this could end up costing Google a lot of money. It really, really could. So we'll see what happens with this here. But it's interesting that Viacom was uploading stuff, testing the folks over at YouTube, while at the same time the folks at YouTube were actually talking about it. boy, doesn't bode well for this case. I think it's going to be a slam dunk. I really think Viacom's going to come out and win a big award. If they don't, I will be very, very surprised. All right, over on Engadget. Boy, oh boy, did you hear about this guy in Austin? This disgruntled auto salesman? Well, apparently, this company that has been selling cars has been using the Texas Auto Center, and I don't think if I was in Austin, I would go buy a car from this group. They must, the only thing I can think of is that the Texas Auto Group, the Texan Auto Center, and I'm only, you know, contemplating here what they're doing, they must loan to high-risk people. That's the only thing I can think that this, the reason they do this. But they're using, in the vehicles they sell, a service called WebTrek, or WebTech. And what this service does is if the individual doesn't pay his payment on his car, WebTech can remote trigger the horn on the car. It's got a kill device that will actually shut the car down and not allow it to be driven. So this individual that was working for them, he hacked into their website, got into the WebTech system, and essentially bricked about 100 cars, set the horns off, basically made people so they couldn't move them. So what was the ending result of this is the company pretty quickly figured out that this is what had happened, and the Austin High-Tech Crime Unit, I didn't even know Austin had one of these, but kudos on them, they quickly traced the access back to the individual in question and made an arrest. So, but can you imagine, you walk out and your car is, the horn's going off and you can't start it? I don't think I would buy cars from this group. Anybody in Austin know about Web, a Texas Auto Center? You know, what is the story with them? Do they, is it all used cars or what? Do they have, basically sell a car to anyone that can show them a paycheck slip or something? You know, what is the story on that? All right, over on Gizmodo, Sling Player app for Android coming this summer will stream over Wi-Fi and 3G. So pretty good news for those of you that are Android users and have a Slingbox. Sling Player is coming, and they're in testing right now. Very cool stuff. All right, biggest news probably of the week, and something I'm excited about, is Google is partnering up and going to plan on releasing a set-top box. You guys know I'm a big fan of Roku. Matter of fact, I ordered a squeeze box yesterday. I'm going to check one of those out. But Google has decided to partner up with a couple of groups, and they're going to release an Android-based box, and they partnered up with Sony and Intel, who are building the guts and the design, and Logitech is doing what they do best. They're working with them as well. So we'll see what happens. Now, it scares me a little bit that Sony's involved. But if it's going to be Android-based, that tells me that there's going to be the ability to build apps for this thing. So pretty cool stuff. So we'll see what happens. And, of course, they're going to be competing with Roku and with Boxy. How many of you guys have a Boxy? How many of you have a Roku? If you have a Roku or a Boxy, send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. Tell me what you like about the device. Or actually, you probably don't have the Boxy device yet because they're not available. But how many of you are going to order a D-Link Boxy? The next question is, how many of you have Boxy installed on your computer? And finally, of course, how many of you have a current Roku box or something similar? I'm kind of curious to hear from you guys what type of devices, if you have one, if you have a set-top box, and what you're using those devices for. If you have one, drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com, and would you buy one of these Google ones when it comes out based on Android? You know, if it's not completely locked, I think that I will be pre-ordering one as soon as they're available. So anyway. Cool stuff. Hey, AT&T, it looks like they pretty much just survived the South by Southwest crowd and have been able to keep the network up. Of course, I had a few issues the first couple of hours once getting into Austin. Maybe the towers weren't live yet. But Gizmodo has a video of a look inside an AT&T cell tower on wheels. They call it a cow. it's the inside is not as exciting as I imagined, and the guy that's doing the interview with Gizmodo is a complete AT&T hack. He's well rehearsed, must be a PR guy. You know, she tries to make him sound like he's just somebody there from AT&T, but you can hear the old PR spin by the AT&T guy, because he's mission statements, you know, in the taglines and everything AT&T is trying to get across on their network. Kind of a little bit of almost commercial, but if you guys want to see what it looks like inside one of these cell towers on wheels, this will be your one chance probably to do that. Hey, over on the Apple blog at appleblog.com, Apple has basically said our screens don't need no protecting. How many of you guys use those, that film that peels off or you can put on the front of your iPhone? I don't have one. I have no desire to putting a screen on. When my phone gets scratched up, it'll be about time to buy another one. So how many of you are actually putting any of those screen protectors on there? It appears that Apple is saying that has informed a number of manufacturers that it will no longer be carrying any films or covers aimed at protecting the iPhone screens from dust or scratches, or even those that claim to prevent glare and ensure privacy. Now, I don't know why would Apple do that? I had read on one site that they said it was because it was an item that was very often returned. And I know my wife uses some of that screen film, and I'm kind of like, well, why use it? But she's had a lot of problem with that stuff before. To me, it's just more annoying. I don't have the patience to even put it on or even thinking about putting it on. But it appears Apple's not going to allow that product to be sold in their stores. How many of you use Google Calendar? You know, I used Google Calendar quite a bit. And today, I got introduced by the folks over at GigaOM by a very cool plugin. It's actually a gadget available in the Google Calendar Labs. It's called Smart Rescheduler, and it's really just very simple. I installed it in just a few minutes, and you know, I have my schedule all laid out, things I'm going to do. But often, I run into trouble with media buyers. They can't talk to me at a certain time. I have to reschedule them. But there's a way to instant reschedule, and it picks some times and slots, and I really like it. I think this is a nice little gadget to use if you're using Google Calendar. Fine by the folks over there at GigaOM. Kudos to them. So if you use Google Calendar, you'll definitely want to check this out. All right, there's a report out, and it's a, I don't know where they got this information, and again, this is over on GigaOM, and I scratched my head a little bit here, because they, actually it says sources Gartner, so it's from a reliable source, but in 2009, check this out, Symbian-based devices sold 80.9 million units. RIM sold 34.3. iPhone sold 24.9. Windows Mobile, 15 million. Linux, 8.1 million. Android, 6.8. And other phones sold 2.3. I was surprised that Symbian has still sold 80.9 million phones. And I am not a phone expert by any stretch of the imagination. But can someone tell me, you know, what are Nokia? Is Nokia phones running on Symbian? You know, what runs on Symbian? Is it not smartphones, or is it, you know, what type of phones run on that operating system? I'm assuming that's what it is. It's just basic phones. Love to hear you guys' feedback on this, on these numbers. But anyway, this is part of a report that's available on GigaOM's Pro service. I guess you have to subscribe to that. But links to the semi-partial articles will be up in the show notes, of course. Okay, we already talked about the FCC. This is just a supplemental article I have linked up in the show notes. They're talking about some of the stuff that's going on with the broadband plan and a national broadband plan. So they've got some more details here on that. So I have that linked up in the show notes. And I think when, how many of you have gotten your census paperwork already? I heard from someone that told me that they're asking about broadband in the census paperwork this year. Can anyone confirm that if they've gotten their actual census paperwork? I'd love to hear some of the questions that they're actually asking, because I'm sure my census paperwork is at home, but obviously I'm not there to look at it. Very bold statement made by Sequoia Capital partner Mark Cavam. He has told some folks at UMA Global, that's a conference that's going on, told companies if you can harness social media marketing, you don't have to pay for advertising anymore. And I got to thinking about that for a second. If a company can harness social media marketing, companies don't have to pay for advertising anymore. I don't know if I agree with that. I really don't. Because you look at a broad segment of the population, and this audience, this show, are all very much early adopters. You're very much techie. You're very much online. So you probably get most of your information and most of the advertising stuff presented to you online, maybe more than you do on TV or other venues. With the ADM survey that came out and talked about this specific audience market being basically reachable primarily only through this market, because you guys, many of you have walked away from pay cable TV and so forth. I don't know. I'm just looking at this. They say that companies can give up traditional advertising by doing it through social media marketing. I don't know if I agree with that or not. What do you guys think? Now, of course, everyone's saying that the next ad opportunity is mobile. And I kind of dread being pitched all the time on my mobile device. But, you know, what do you guys think? Where are companies reaching you now? This is a world that is inundated with advertising. And no matter if you like it or dislike it or can't stand it or tune out, where are you being affected the most? You know, on products and services that you're buying. When it comes to new cars, are you getting ideas through ads? You're going to the website. When it comes to new products and services, do you get it through information like this type of a show or others? Do you go to review sites, or do you see advertising online? You hear it through word of mouth. You know, how are you guys getting the information on the new products and services that you're buying that you may not buy otherwise? What's prompting you guys to do that? I'm kind of looking at my own experience. I know I get a lot of word-of-mouth information. I get a lot of pitches from a variety of companies that want me to cover them on Geek News Central. 99.9% of them I never do. But I do get a lot of information. Some of it I use in this show when I find articles about different products. But, you know, maybe I'm a little slanted, too, because obviously a nice portion of our income is based on advertising revenue. So maybe, you know, I think, though, podcasting has got social media aspects. So I don't know. Why don't you guys love to hear your feedback on that? Okay. News out of Bloomberg.com is that Google apparently is planning on shutting down its China operation on April 10th. Now, this is coming from an unidentified Chinese sales agent for the company. So, wow, if Google pulls out, what does that really mean? That means that Google leaves the country, and then folks in China that want to search Google have to hit servers in the United States. Now, we all know that Google has said it has decided to stop censoring content. I don't know. Maybe the negotiations between it and the Chinese government have faltered. And maybe that's the reason why this is kind of being leaked. But, you know, obviously it doesn't affect those of us that are not in China. I know it affects a lot of expats. I know, Andy, you're out in Shanghai right now, and you're still tuning into the show. I know that you're how you're getting access to a lot of stuff in the United States to avoid the censors. I'm not going to talk about that on the show, but yeah, kind of interesting that this could be the trend for Google here soon. Going along with the Viacom YouTube lawsuit that I talked about earlier in the show, I actually have a posting up that was made by the folks at YouTube today. I'll have that up along with the other commentary. All right, it appears more bad news for Adobe and Flash. It appears that the Wikipedia is going to be going open video. So we know that Adobe has been in trouble here since the announcement that, you know, obviously the iPhone doesn't support Flash. The iPad isn't going to support Flash. I know that we have been making major preparations for the iPad to be introduced. And but it appears Wikipedia is going to be working with the Open Video Alliance to provide videos on Wikipedia that are no longer in Flash. So that's huge. And so is this is Flash being, the days of Flash being numbered? The implementation, sure enough, easy on HTML5. So I know that there's a few of you that listen to the show that are actually Flash developers. Where do you think this is headed? You know, Flash isn't going to go anywhere real fast. There will definitely be a transition because, you know, most of browsers are actually IE, doesn't support HTML5 videos yet. Firefox does in some limited way on some video formats. Safari does real well. So does Chrome. So we'll see. We'll see on this. But, you know, more pressure mounting for Adobe, obviously. All right, I think for the first time, finally had a little common sense. And I'm not going to condone kids that take pictures of themselves naked and send texts to their friends, the sexting as they call it. But I also understand kids will be kids. And again, I would I don't condone this, and I would be I have had this conversation with my 13-year-old daughter about the ramifications of doing something stupid like that. But it appears that the courts have finally kind of woken up to this. A federal appeals court have rebuked a Pennsylvania district attorney who threatened to file felony child pornography charges against teens who are photographed semi-nude unless they attended an education program. In a unanimous decision issued Wednesday by the appeals court in Philadelphia, a three-judge panel said the threat amounted to a Hobson's choice. In other words, that must be Hobson's choice of some legal precedent that would retaliate against one of the girls and her family for exercising their constitutional right to free speech, a rare dose of government-issued sanity in the prosecutorial crusade against teenage sexting. The ruling upheld a lower court order issued last year in the case. Now, we know as parents that this type of activity can be very damaging. But the internet is forever, and these types of pictures could end up on the internet forever. And we definitely don't want our non-adult, our underage children and teenagers putting these types of images on their cell phones and sending them to their friends or, you know, just being kids. And I have been totally against this whole thing of making teenagers, putting them on, you know, these lists like they do, you know, predators, putting them in the same class of criminals. And I just, finally, someone has had a little bit of common sense on this. Now, what do you guys think? You know, do you think that teens should be charged to the full extent of the law in these sexting cases, or where do you guys think the line lays on this? Now, in today's society, you know, there's a lot of pressure on teenagers. Teenagers are kids. They aren't yet. They, you know, the reason they're not adults is the world has decided that they're, you know, until they're 18, at least in the United States, They're not fully responsible for their actions. And I don't know. I guess we'll see how this grows. But it just seems like this crusade to prosecute these teenagers for this stuff has been a little bit out of control. And I understand it's a case-by-case basis, but it's one thing for someone to take a picture of someone nude inappropriately and then, you know, share that. But, you know, what if you do it personally? Is there personal choice involved? I don't know. It's just, there is a very fine line. But we'll see what develops with this. Okay, the International Space Station, a couple of the astronauts have returned. International Space Station Expedition 22 Commander Jeff Williams and Flight Engineer Max Surov returned to Earth earlier today, touching down in Kazakhstan aboard their Soyuz TMA-16 spacecraft. Survey and Williams blasted off from on 30 September last year. NASA notes that Williams now has logged days in space, placing him in fourth on the all-time U.S. list of long-duration space travelers. The ISS crew now comprises Expedition 23 Commander Oleg Kotov and Flight Engineer Soichi Noguchi and T.J. Kramer. They'll be joined on April 4th by Flight Engineers Alexander Skrovatsky and Tracy Caldwell. So we'll launch, one other individual will launch from April 2nd from the from Kazakhstan. Okay, good stuff, ISS. Okay, the FCC... Wow, FCC, a lot of stuff tonight, has launched a beta version of its proposed spectrum dashboard showing who owns which airwaves and where in an easy-to-use format. I was looking at this. This thing is cool. Geeks, you're going to love this. You really, really are. You're gonna be digging into your area. This was cool. This is really going to make all of us understand who have licenses in our neighborhoods. And the FCC has promised that we're going to be able to do searching based on particular location as well with this. So this is cool. And it's very extensive, and I like what the FCC has done there. So only true geeks are going to like this thing and looking at the spectrum and who owns what. And it's kind of telling, it really is, to see which companies own which part of the spectrum. Okay, here we go. One of the listeners on Ustream said, "Sorry, I'm slow to respond, but I just checked my census and did not see anything about broadband." Well, there was their chance. I guess they didn't... ask any of the hard questions or good questions. Okay, let me go ahead and I've got one voicemail tonight, and it's a short one. So that can only mean one thing, folks. If it's a short voicemail that's come into the voicemail hotline, it can only be some company trying to sell me something. So I think we'll get a kick out of whoever this was that called. It's 18 seconds long. Again, if you have legitimate comments on the show, you can call them into our voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Let me go ahead and fire this, and we'll see what salesman is trying to sell me something this time. Here we go.
From the list, press 9, but to get the free information on how to explode your recruiting by 300% to 400%, as well as earn $500 to $1,500 a day consistently using this system, press 2 now.
Wow. Should I press 2 to learn how I can earn $500 to $1,500 a day? You know, first of all, anyone that calls with a slick voice like that, with a pre-recorded system, asking me to press 2 if I want to earn $500 to $1,500 a month, you know, what do they think? Please, folks, if you get one of these calls, hang up on these idiots. Don't press 2, okay, because it's just going to end in heartache. It really is. It really is. Please stay away from these scam artists that call like this. You know, I don't know how I got on this list, but it's interesting to hear, you know, I get one of these about once a month or more into the hotline. And you can tell they're just war dialing sites. And the reason that they can call this number is because there's no way to block it from the... I wonder if I can put that on the do not call list. I probably can. I have to try that and see how that works out. Even though I don't own the number, I rent it. I might be able to shut that down. Okay, got a number of... a few emails tonight. Not a lot. But as a reminder, for those of you who are checking the show late, we're going to be meeting at 7 o'clock tomorrow in San Jose, actually in Milipitas. We're going to be meeting at Romano's Macaroni Grill, at 110 Ranch Drive in Milipitas, California at 7 p.m. for a meetup, Romano's Macaroni Grill, 110 Ranch Drive, Milipitas. If you want to come out, definitely text me. You'll find a number there on geeknewscentral.com where you can contact me or drop me an email as soon as possible. Let me know that you're coming, and we'll see you tomorrow night at 7. I don't know how many we're going to have. I think we've only had a couple of people respond. I know that Tom from the Fogview Podcast is going to be there. I know that Dale is going to be in as well. He's actually up on Ustream right now. I think he's going to be coming out. So I'm going to be going to Fry's before that. So I think there's only one Fry's in San Jose. So I'll probably be in there about 5:30 or so, maybe even 5 o'clock. I don't know. But if you want to meet up in Fry's as well, we can do that. Okay, let me go ahead and open the emails here. If I didn't close it. No, I did not. And we're starting on emails that come in since 3:16. Oh, hey, I want to thank James Bibby. James, you are one of our platinum contributors of the show. Thank you so much for your ongoing support. I do appreciate it. And I am going to be setting you up to get one of our cool T-shirts that we're going to be sending out to contributors of the show. That contribute to a certain amount each month or reach a certain plateau. And I'm going to have some variety of stages on stuff that we're going to be giving away to those of you that are participating in my salary placement plan. And we've got a number of people that are in, of course, at $2 a month. And if that continues for a year, obviously we'll get you in on the T-shirt deal as well. But thank you so very much, James, for your continued support. It is greatly appreciated. And I look forward to sending you a cool T-shirt out. And it's going to be something that Brian, my creative director, is going to design. It'll be very unique. You won't, there'll only be a few people that will be able to get access to this. It'll be nothing that no one on the show can buy. And you'll be a proud recipient of one of those T-shirts. And we'll get those. The design is underway. And as soon as we get them, I'll be ordering them privately. So, James, just drop me an email. And let me know what your T-shirt size is, and then of course I'll get your mailing address for you. We'll get that out to you. Thanks so much. Email from Matt. He says, "Hey Todd, it's Matt from Mid Michigan. I've only accidentally clicked on an ad on my new Zune HD, but I do think that just seeing the ad is an impression they wouldn't have gotten. On another note, I do think Microsoft employees should use the competitor's product. How else would they know what their competitors have? You have to know what you're trying to be to make it better, don't you? Love the show, Matt Ryder." Hey, Matt, you're absolutely right. And I definitely have used some of my competitors' products from time to time to check them out and see what they're doing. And I know for sure that we have a few people that have accounts over at Raw Voice that I'm very suspicious that are probably our competitors. But it's okay. You know, that's the way the game is played. But, yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right that they need to maybe they learn something from the Apple folks. I got an email from Paul. He said, "I click on ads in Android programs, not so much because they are useful. I just click on them to support the developers." Oh, that's cool. Paul, thanks for that. Got an email here from Nick. He sent this via his BlackBerry on AT&T. He said, "Hey, Todd, I came across your podcast about 6 months ago and listened ever since. Keep up the good work. I was just listening to show 599, which was actually 559, when you read the story about 40% of BlackBerry users would switch to the iPhone. And being a BlackBerry user myself, I think I see the way they would say that. I personally would not switch to the iPhone, but as soon as I can get a good Android phone on AT&T, I will switch. But I think if you went to use your phone for anything more than email, then BlackBerry is not a good choice, because I've noticed that when I use my phone for things like streaming music or podcasts, that the phone will shut down and reboot itself or just lock up for long periods of time." Wow, so if you're streaming music or podcasts, you're having your BlackBerry locks up? What app are you using, Nick? Love to hear some more feedback on that. Is it because the phone's trying to download the shows, or if it gets overloaded? Anyone else got a BlackBerry that's experiencing that? Love to hear feedback on it. I got an email from Jacob in Sweden. He says, "Hey, Todd, I'm a regular listener to the show. I'm listening in my SEC702 phone via Sonya Media Go. It automatically syncs my subscribed podcast whenever I connect to the phone to my PC. I listen to GNC when I'm working outside, for example, when I was cutting some trees for firewood, when I have to drive somewhere, when I stand on the sled pulled by my dog team." That's cool. You got a dog team. What a great – you listen to a tech show. That's a first. Listen to GNC on a sled being pulled by a dog team. That is very unique. But he goes on to say, "But that's not the reason to write you. I've stumbled over the information that Apple stopped selling all protective screen filming products, including cases with some sort of display protection. What sense does this make? To me, it seems most likely that screen protection keeps people from buying new products from Apple, because if you do protect your display, you won't most likely need new phone / iPod because of scratch or a broken display. It could be the possibility because when my phone gets, after 2 years, so scratched that I can't watch videos, I get really annoyed and start thinking about some new device. Lately, it seems to me that Apple is turning to really strange directions full of restrictions. I don't get it. Keep up the work, Jacob in Sweden." And Jacob, thanks for listening to the show on your dog sled. And whenever you're out cutting wood, great way to burn off some energy. And really, I'm quite insanely jealous. Sounds like a lot of fun. That's it for emails tonight, and if you've sent one in and I missed it, that was everything I had in my queue. Please resend your emails to geeknews@gmail.com. If you've got comments on tonight's show, voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. Next show will be from the great state of Texas, and I think what I'm going to do Saturday night, I think I'm going to find me a big fat steak. You know, there is no better place. Of course, I'm probably going to get slammed here. There's no better place in the United States to have a nice big steak than in Texas. They just seem to know how to do it. They really do. But one thing I've been enjoying here in California is a lot of Mexican food. I've ate just as much Mexican food as I possibly can, going to little mom-and-pop places. There was a place, actually, I was down in Gilroy, meaning Gilroy is the garlic capital of the world. And if any of you have been in Gilroy, which is about 25 miles south of San Jose, they have a... a garlic festival every year. Of course, it's early in the year, and there wasn't a lot of garlic smell, but the locals told me that that was quite the place. But I found a little a nice Mexican restaurant that was kind of totally local, not a chain place. Oh, my goodness. Off the chart. And I actually had logged in on Foursquare and added the place. So if you are in the in the San Francisco, San Jose area, and you want a great Mexican place that's definitely authentic, you'll definitely want to check out where I've been on Foursquare. You can add me as well. Of course, I'm on there, so add me as a friend, and that way you'll be able to see where I'm checking in. But anyway, that's it for now, folks. We'll be in Texas next week. And actually going to be there for a while. I'm going to plan a road trip, I think a week from Saturday. And haven't quite decided where I'm going yet, if I'm going to go down to Houston or if I'm going to go back into Austin. Not quite sure yet. I've had a bunch of people on the show ask me to come to Houston, and I may do that. I don't know. I just have to really think about the time involved getting down and getting back. Maybe I just fly out and come down and pick up a rental car or something. But next shows are going to be in the Texas area. And I look forward to doing it from out there. I know that I've got a great background here. For those of you that are on Ustream, you can see I'm in a, it's not too much of a view out the window. And there's a Hotel 6 across the street. It's gotten some interesting traffic since I've been here. I've been kind of watching that out the window. I don't know if they're using that place as a rent by the hour or what, but... it's been fun. Those of you on Ustream, I'll hang out for a little bit and chat with all of you. But I'll see everyone that wants to come out tomorrow, again, 7 p.m., at Macaroni Grill and Milipitas. And if I destroyed that, I'm sorry, 110 Ranch Drive, 7 o'clock. We'll see you there. Email me, Twitter me, text me, whatever way, just let me know you're coming so that we can wait for you if you are. And bring a big appetite, please. And I don't think I've ever ate at a macaroni grill, so be a first for me. I don't think we have. We don't have those in Hawaii. So, but until next show, everyone take care, and we'll see you next time. Aloha.